Just hold it. Ms. Kim.
May it please the Court, Leah Kim for the petitioner, Mr. Mandeep Singh. Your Honors, this is a case in which the Board of Immigration Appeals erred and abused its discretion in denying petitioner's motion to reopen because the Board found the petitioner had not demonstrated why the evidence was previously unavailable during the original proceedings.
Did Mr. Singh make the argument to the immigration judge or to the Board that the government had failed to produce the file on his father?
I believe to the immigration judge, no, Your Honor. And in the board, in the motion to reopen to the board, I think we addressed this. Yes. Contrary to the board's decision, the evidence submitted with petitioner's motion to reopen clearly met all three of the requirements, as the documents were material, was previously unavailable, it could not have been presented during the original proceedings. Again, the documents, the new evidence submitted was 6 photos of the petitioner's father and U.S. citizen wife during their civil wedding ceremonies, the entire immigrant visa petition and the petitioner's father's adjustment application with the required documents, and a signed and notarized affidavit from the petitioner's father in India detailing the bona fide relationship. These documents went to the core of petitioner's case, whether or not he was eligible to adjust status as a derivative beneficiary grandfathered under Section 245I of the Immigration and Nationality Act based on his father's previously filed immigrant visa petition in 1998. As petitioner's case has been fraught with erroneous legal reasoning and denied by the service twice based upon misinterpretations of the law, it was critical that these documents were submitted in its entirety to the immigration judge.
Was Mr. Singh's father living in India at the time of Mr. Singh's removal hearing, and during the appeal to the board?
Petitioner's first hearing was on July 29, 2009, and the petitioner's father was removed to India in December of 2009. So he was here for about 3 months. So in between the immigration proceedings, he was removed. And he was not here during the final hearing or the appeal. Secondly, the documents were unavailable at the time of the original proceedings for several reasons. First, the petitioner could only obtain these documents 2 ways, through his father or through the United States government. As stated, the documents were his father's personal documents. Petitioner lacked custody, control, or access to these documents, nor could he reproduce them as they were 13 years old. Secondly, the government had a much...
I'm sorry, nor could he have produced them...
Reproduced them. Because they were his father's immigrant visa petition filed in 1998.
But was there any reason then that he couldn't have secured those documents from storage during that 1 year that the case was continued, or between the time of the removal and... the appeal?
The petitioner's fathers had these documents in storage in India. So I'm not exactly sure what happened. The petitioner's father was in New York, and then he lived in Los Angeles. And I believe in between his moves, he just sent back most of his documents and his personal possessions to India. So they were not in his possession. Secondly, the government had much easier access to the documents. At the petitioner's first hearing on July 29, 2009, the immigration judge explicitly ordered the government attorney to present the petitioner's father's file so he could determine what happened to petitioner's father's case. At the same time, the immigration judge ordered the petitioner to provide any and all documents to help facilitate the government attorney in obtaining the petitioner's father's file. The petitioner complied with the immigration judge's order within 90 days and supplied a copy of everything he had in his possession, which was his father's I-130 immigrant visa application, his father's adjustment interview notice, his father's marriage certificate, and petitioner's own birth certificate. However, the government failed to comply with the immigration judge's explicit order to present the petitioner's father's file, and the immigration judge conceded he had not seen his father's file before making his determination in court. Lastly, the documents could not have been discovered or presented at the original hearings. Again, to reiterate, the documents were not in the petitioner's personal possession. These documents all belonged to his father. His father had sole custody and control of these documents, and petitioner could not access them nor reproduce them. As such, the evidence...
That's the basis of your argument. But if I understand the board's view, the board said that's a proposition of fact and it needs proof.
Yes.
So did you offer to show the board why it was impossible to get the documents earlier, or did you just try to get the board to accept that on faith?
Whenever the petitioner was ordered to submit documents during his proceedings, he complied. So we believe he was...
No, that's not my question. So I understand it. The board was looking, for example, for an affidavit from Singh saying, here's what I tried to do earlier to get the documents from my father. Did he submit such an affidavit or declaration?
No, he did not. We merely...
That's the problem, right? So you're asking us just to take it on faith that these documents must have been unavailable, and the board said we want evidence rather than faith.
Yes, Your Honor. We believe that during the proceedings, the immigration judge, recognizing that these documents did not belong to petitioner, explicitly ordered the government attorney to present the petitioner's father's file. Further, in circumstances in which petitioners are trying to seek eligibility as derivative grandfathered beneficiaries, the board should look at the context in determining if due diligence was exercised by the petitioner. We clearly explained the circumstances regarding the difficulty petitioner had in obtaining these documents, and further, petitioner was not granted an opportunity to voice his difficulty during the immigration proceedings. I would like to reserve the rest of my time for rebuttal if there's no further questions. Thank you.
Thank you, counsel. Mr. Nicastro.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court. I'm Anthony Nicastro and represent the Attorney General in this case.
What about the fact that the immigration judge ordered the government to produce copies of its files on the father's 1998 petition? Mr. Singh claims the government never did so. And I understand that there may be a question of waiver here. But putting that aside for a moment, did the government ever produce the file as required?
In direct answer to your question, no, Your Honor. But to bring it back, not only is it a waiver issue, it's really a jurisdictional issue, because in his motion to reopen, I think I asked opposing counsel, did they bring this up with the board? No, they did not bring this up.
Is there any doubt that it was a legitimate marriage?
Yes, Your Honor, because the petition has never – you mean the father's marriage?
Yes.
Yes, the petition is – there's no evidence in the record that I-130 visa petition was ever approved.
Was ever what?
Approved. So on page 21 of the record, there's –
Well, are those government records or what? Is that the missing government record?
There is no missing government record. There's a visa petition.
Well, I thought the government hadn't complied with the order to produce
the documents. Well, the I-130 visa petition that was filed on behalf of the father from the father's wife is in the record. That was produced during the proceedings, the original proceedings. That's in the record.
Well, what about the action on the petition?
There is no action. We do know that the petitioner's father was removed under a removal order. But I do not have anything in the record as to why he was removed, what was the grounds for it. But I think the petitioner's father admits in his affidavit that was submitted with the motion to reopen that he was previously removed.
The board's latest order doesn't say anything, doesn't express doubts about the legitimacy of the marriage. It complains only about the petitioner's failure to submit an affidavit. It makes it seem as if the board is punishing petitioner for not submitting a document.
You know, I think what the board is doing is just trying to uphold the standards of the motion to reopen. I think it's very much like Judge Easterbrook said. Okay, you say you've got this legitimate marriage and you want to adjust under old 245I so you really don't have to leave the United States. Okay, we understand that. Can you provide us some evidence as to why these documents, and there's three groups of documents that I submitted with the motion to reopen, why these documents were unavailable? What did you do to try and get them other than the two reasons you state in your motion with no evidence to support it and the two reasons why they were 13 years old and they were in India? And that's it. That is the gist of his motion. And there is no documentation from or evidence from Singh to say, hey, this is what I tried to do, because this was an issue at the start of his immigration proceedings. I want to adjust under 245I because
so
I do not want to leave the country.
The board's concern is that insufficient effort was made to track these documents down in India?
What did you do?
Answer my question. Is that the board's concern? Insufficient effort to try to find...
Your Honor. Due diligence.
Just wait a second till I finish my question.
Absolutely.
Is that the board's concern, insufficient effort to look in India for the missing documents? Yes or no?
Yes, because there's no evidence of it.
Yes, fine. Thank you.
So the board's concern in their motion to reopen is there's no affidavit from Singh as to the attempts to get the two groups of documents, the pictures and whatever documents were in his adjustment application. The third evidence that they submitted...
And they're still missing all those documents. The pictures and everything are missing?
No, they were with the motion to reopen.
Well, they have the document. What are we talking about then? That's why I say my impression is the board is punishing Singh for having failed to file some affidavit, but the actual evidence showing that it was a legitimate marriage was submitted to the board. Is that true or false? Is that true or false?
We don't know if the board says that. The board has never said the marriage
but
they is legitimate.
Have these pictures, right?
I know,
pictures
but they haven't
marriage.
Complied with the regulation to say...
They have the pictures, right?
Yes, they are pictures. Yes, they do have the pictures.
Would you stop interrupting me? They have the pictures, and the pictures are evidence of the legitimacy of the marriage. Now, is the board's problem that it wants more evidence, or is it annoyed at Singh for having to fail to file an affidavit?
It's not the first, and they are annoyed that Singh did not provide any evidence to show this material was unavailable at the time of his hearing.
But suppose that he provides the photographs, and let's just assume without deciding that the photographs show it's a legitimate marriage. Then is the fact that they weren't submitted earlier, is that the ground for removing him then? That it's punishment for tardiness in submitting evidence?
No, Your Honor. The grounds for the board's decision is that Singh has not shown what steps he took to get this evidence because we know it was in existence during his immigration hearing. And that's what the regulation states he must do. And that's what this court stated he must do in Lynn. The facts are almost...
This conversation seems to be confusing the board's two decisions. First decision, the removal decision, was entered on a record that lacked this evidence. The second decision, the decision not to reopen, was based on the board's conclusion that the alien had not shown why he failed to produce the evidence earlier. Now, is that correct?
Yes, Your Honor, and I would just add that the first decision is not before the board because there's no petition for review filed from that.
So the only question, as I understand it, is whether the board was entitled to require the alien to show why he had not produced the evidence at the time of the main event.
That's correct, Your Honor, and also why, in order to get his motion to reopen granted, why this evidence was unavailable. What did you do to get it? I mean, all the board says, you didn't give me an affidavit. One of the documents is an affidavit from his father. There's no explanation as to why he cannot produce an affidavit from his father at his previous hearing. In other words, he's just trying to reopen that hearing. And in order to reopen it, the documents obviously were in existence at the time. The board's simply saying, what did you do what evidence can you give us to show due diligence in that these documents were with that with not within your control? And that's what the board is struggling with here. Just simply the process as Judge Easterbrook set up before.
But the government, so it looks so both sides dropped the ball, right? The government didn't comply with an order to produce documents, and Singh was tardy in producing the documents.
Yes, Your Honor, if you were looking at the first decision and if it was before this court.
So what's the government's punishment?
The government, there is no punishment for the government. There's no punishment for the alien, so I hate to use the word punishment because I think the Supreme Court said it's not punishment.
Judges to India. Now, according to the petitioner, we now have the copies of pictures of his father and wife taken before and after a civil wedding ceremony. Entire adjustment of status application with proper signatures, signed and notarized affidavit about the bona fide nature of his relationship with his wife. Does that leave any real doubt that he's entitled to adjustment of status?
That would be a decision for the agency, Your Honor. I mean,
but it's never going to make it, right? He's got to go back to India? To what? Go back to, for what purpose? What's the purpose of all this?
The purpose of it is to preserve the integrity of the motion to reopen procedure. I mean,
since the government violated the integrity of the procedure also, why not just call the violations a draw, look at the evidence, which appears to be quite adequate, right? Not send him back to India.
Well, Your Honor, he could return to India on his own and use the consulate process.
No, I understand
adjust,
that. Right. It seems like a totally pointless trip.
And it'll take 10 years, as you well know.
Well,
the waiting list from India, maybe 20.
Well, he has an approved visa. He would just have to get the necessary waiver to return to the United States because of his unlawful presence. His wife, he married a U.S. citizen, so he could... he could petition off of that and have nothing to do with his father's petition. I see my time is up, Your Honor.
Thank you, counsel. Anything further, Ms. Kim?
Just to conclude, we can see that the documents were in existence during petitioner's original proceedings. However, the board erred in denying petitioner's motion to reopen and ignoring the circumstances in which why petitioner had difficulty in obtaining these documents. Again, they were not the petitioner's documents. They belonged to his father, who had sole custody and possession in India. Despite petitioner's due diligence and constant efforts and requests to his father, he could not obtain these documents from him.
That's what you say, but as I understand the board's decision, the board said there is no evidence to that effect in the record.
In the record? No, Your Honor, no.
We have to decide these based on the record. We can't just say, well, whatever the lawyer says must be true.
They were not assertions from the lawyer. It's not statements from the lawyer, but merely explained the circumstances. Further, this was petitioner's only relief from removal. He entered the United States when he was 14 years old in 2001 and married his United States citizen in 2007. Again, this is his only relief from removal. Congress intended that children of grandfathered aliens be eligible to adjust status and obtain lawful residence in the United States. For the reasons stated, we request the petitioner's petition for review be granted.
You still have a minute if you want it. You just want to get out of here, don't you?
Thank you, counsel. The case is taken under advisement, and the court will be in recess.